Following is an unrehearsed interview with Mrs. Clayton Morrow by Libby Frost for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Mrs. Morrow's home in Stanford, Kentucky on June 19, 1978, approximately 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Could you tell me who Mrs. Whitley Burge is, was?
Miss Esther Whitley Burge did many things for Stanford and the whole county. Miss Esther Whitley Burge was born in 1876 and died in 1953. She was raised in Lincoln County, the daughter of Mr. Stephen Burge and Miss Delia Allison Burge. She belonged to one of Kentucky's pioneer families and was a direct descendant of William Whitley, the famous Indian fighter. She graduated from Stanford Female College and the Emerson School of Oratory in Boston, Massachusetts. She was a lifelong member of the Stanford Presbyterian Church. She was the organizing regent of the Logan Whitley chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. She was the outstanding civic leader of Lincoln County. She was foremost in promoting cultural activities for her town and county. Miss Burge wrote and directed the pageant telling the history of Lincoln County. She's one of the first people to use local talents in producing Shakespearean plays. She organized the Stanford Women's Club and the Subdeb Club and was paramount in organizing the library. She was gentle and understanding. Her cultural influence is still felt in the community. Her life touched many lives and all were enriched by knowing her. We will cherish her memory and profit by her life's example.
She was a fine lady then of Lincoln County.
That's right.
Uh-huh. How long did she live in Lincoln County? All her life?
Born and raised in Lincoln County.
Uh-huh.
When she died, she lived right across the street in a little yellow house.
Uh-huh. You were a good friend of hers? Uh-huh. Lincoln County is noted for some of the fine lawyers it has produced. Could you tell me a little bit about the Lincoln County Bar Association and some of its members?
Yes, Lincoln County has always been noted for its wonderful bar association. Many years ago, four of the most noted ones were Judge Softley, Judge Alcorn, Colonel Wells, and Colonel T.P. Hill. My father, Mr. J.B. Paxton, was much younger and read law in Colonel Hill's office. He told many funny stories about Colonel Hill. He said the Colonel could sway any jury. And one time, an old man, we'll call Mr. John Doe, had been cheated out of his farm, and Colonel Hill represented him and got the farm back. When the case was over, the old man was out in the lobby of the courthouse crying his heart out. When he was asked why he was crying since he'd gotten his farm back, he said, "I had no idea how bad I'd been treated till I heard Hill tell it." My father, Mr. J.B. Paxton, was considered a walking encyclopedia. One day, one of his admiring clients had lost her house, had it sold out from under her, and called Father that night. He was also president of the Lincoln County National Bank, and he naturally thought she wanted the money, was afraid she wanted to borrow money from him or from the bank. When he answered, she said, "Mr. Paxton, please tell me the seven wonders of the world. I can't think of but six."
A funny story that you tell about a meeting of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Would you tell me that?
Yes, it was really one of the funniest things that ever happened. Miss John Bradshaw entertained the DAR at her home one day, and Miss Lucille Cooper came in with a hat on and a feather that was way too tall, and all during the program I looked at the feather and thought if I just had a pair of scissors, I'd cut it down even with the brim. So when this was got ready to serve, she turned out the lights and had candles on the table, served buffet style. And when Lucille got over to serve herself, she caught the feather on fire. and burned it down to where I'd planned to cut it. And the whole house smelled like chicken feathers. It was really so funny that it just broke up the meeting. Lisbeth had to go out and lean against her trailer just to laugh and really relax herself after it happened.
Did you tell me something about the Stanford Female College?
Well, the Stanford Female College was established February 10, 1798, and it was sold to the public school system in 1910. My father, Mr. J.B. Paxton, was one of the trustees, was a long trustee, and some of the teachers were Mr. Hardin Craig, James Denny, Abner Rogers, Miss Maddie, and Miss Betty Paxton, both of my aunts. And it was located where the Morgan and Fox Funeral Home now is. And the part on the right, as you go to town, was where the boarders lived, and the other part was for the education. I went there my first year. They had everything from the first grade on to the senior in college. And there was Annie Bonasso Craig and Jesse Hocker, and I were in the first grade. And our teacher was Mrs. Bob Gaines. She was then Miss Sally McQuirtle. And two of the most brilliant students there were Pauline Hocker, who was later a Mrs. Foster, and Margaret Hocker, who is now Miss Kelly Francis, who is still living. And my aunt, Mr. Maddie Paxton, called Pauline down one day. Pauline was just a mere child, for talking, and Pauline said, "Oh, please excuse me for being so indiscreet as to become hilarious." The girls were raised by their grandmother, and they used to laugh and tell this story on them, that they were just so far ahead of any of the boys in education that when they had dates, the boys plan ahead of time what to talk about. And one night, two of them went out double-dating, and the boys decided before they left that they would discuss Scott's work. And they started on Scots, and Pauline asked them how they liked Scots Emulsion. And the boys both agreed they liked that better than any of the other works. But they taught everything at the college, and it was really quite a place. And the trustees and the parents and all gave it up with regret in 1910. And the children had to go to public schools. Mm-hmm.
The college is just for young women then?
Stanford male and female.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Started out Stanford male and female.
What kind of subjects did a young woman study there?
Well, they took art and music and all the classics. It took Latin and French, and just like any other college.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful teachers.
What were some of the authors that you studied there? Some of the writers?
You mean the students?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the classics.
Where were you born?
I was born and raised in Stanford.
And your parents were?
Miss and Miss Joseph Briggs Paxton. I was Dean Robinson Paxton.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
My brother James Paxton died in 1929, and my sister Josephine Paxton died in 1902 as a very small child.
You went to school then?
I attended Aggie Scott College first. I graduated Stanford High School and attended Aggie Scott College in Decatur, Georgia, and Transylvania College in Lexington, Kentucky.
What was Transylvania College like? Did you enjoy it there?
Yes, I liked it very much. Belonged to Chi Omega sorority and liked it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully nice school.
What did you major in at Transylvania?
English.
Were you planning a profession when you went to college? Or?
Yes, I taught. I taught 2 years in Morganton, North Carolina. And I married married Clayton Mara in 1937.
As a young girl growing up in Stanford, did you make any trips? Were there any places around here to visit?
Yes, I went quite frequently. Anywhere that I had a chance to go, seemed like I went to New York and different places.
Mm-hmm. What about in Kentucky? Were there any resort places that you visited, either on a school trip or else with your family or with
you? Yes, Western Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky and Mammoth Cave and all around, and then Gatlinburg, Tennessee, of course, it's such a playground of the South. Went there a lot.
Mm-hmm. How did you travel then, by car?
Yes, in the car a lot, and then on the bus, maybe sightseeing bus, we'd go and train.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first car your family had?
The first car I ever rode in, I was visiting my grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. A.C. Robinson in Lancaster. And my grandmother said, Dr. James Kennard in Lancaster, had the first automobile. And I can hear her now. My cousin was with me. She said, I'm going to call Jim Kennard and tell him he's got to come up here and take these children for a ride. So we sat on the porch 3 hours waiting for him. When he finally came to me, we got in. He must have gone about 5 miles an hour. We were so scared, we clutched each other the whole way till we got back. But I never will forget the first automobile ride. And I think the first person in Stanford that had a car was Hubert Carpenter. He was an agent at the Essex Agency.
What was the Essex Agency?
Essex.
What was that? I'm not
Hubert Carpenter.
Uh-huh. What was the Essex Agency?
Well, he was selling them, you know. Selling the Essex car.
Oh, the car. It was a car. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. What were the roads like back then? Did you go to Lexington much?
We used to come back and forth on the train when you come on weekends, you know. But the roads were certainly not like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Now are in bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time coming from North Carolina in the car, it was just like going around the world, so, you know, so different from now.
You say you married in 1937, is that it?
Uh-huh.
And did you have any children?
Yes, we have twin daughters, Mary Jo and Jane Clayton. And they both teach in Lexington. Mary Jo teaches at Picadome and Jane Clayton at Deep Spring.
Mm-hmm. As a well-known attorney in Lincoln County. Do you recall any particular cases that either he was involved in or that you remember here in Lincoln County?
Well, I remember so many. Father was not a criminal lawyer, but he was just a wonderful lawyer. It was said that he could file a suit on a postage stamp. He expressed himself so well, you know, and all. And I remember a case that was brought here from the mountains. It caused so much excitement. We all enjoyed it, so they had a hung jury, and we gave the sum up to it going this way. It was a college. One family was college. They were cousins. And it caused quite a stir. It brought here to get an impartial hearing, you know.
And it lasted all summer then?
Lasted a good 2 months after having the hung jury, you know.
Did you go down and watch the hearing?
Went practically every day. We just had regular seats. Mm-hmm. We used to take our lunch. We were so afraid that we wouldn't get a good seat. And Mr. Honorable Kelly Francis was such a good lawyer. His son Cabell is practicing now, and his grandson Cabell Jr., they both practicing law.
Did your father win that case, or was he involved in that case?
He wasn't involved in that.
Yeah. Do you remember how it turned out?
Yes, it turned out in favor of the college.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's supposed to have done the killing got just 1 year in the penitentiary.
Were there a lot of feuds here in Lincoln County?
No.
Or duels?
See, that was brought down. No, mm-hmm. I don't know of any feuds or duels.
Did lawyers have to carry a pistol around or anything?
I don't think so. Not down yet.
And any other cases your father, or were there any cases that you're familiar with here in Lincoln County that were interesting also?
No, I don't not recall. I don't recall any right now.
Tell me about the fire in Stanford. What year did it happen? And
I don't remember exactly what year it did happen, but it was about 10 or 15 years ago that all the training part of Stanford burned up. And the fire departments came from about 4 towns around there. And we were so amused because we had this neighbor, Miss Julia Sims, who was so very pessimistic. And she'd come every other morning and stay about 3 hours, and no human could understand anything she said, because she spoke so low. Mm-hmm. And we'd always say when she'd come, we'd greet her and say, "How are you, Miss Julia?" She'd say, "Oh, I won't live through the summer. I haven't closed my eyes last night. Mm-hmm. I didn't sleep the night before." So the morning after the fire, when she came, Mother said, "How are you, Miss Julia?" She said, "Oh, I have closed my eyes." And she said, "Wasn't it awful about the fire?" And Miss Julia says, "What fire?"
That fire took most of Main Street then, or just
Yes, it took about where 70 stories now to the hotel, took all that section, all the frame buildings. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here at the time, but.
You mentioned an opera house here in Stanford.
Yes,
could you
Walton's
tell me about
Opera
that?
House.
Walton's Opera House. When was it in operation?
Well, until it was in operation until about, I'd say 10 or 12 years ago, when they had have minstrels and home talent plays and everything there. It's right down on Main Street now, and the VFW rented it for a while, the VFW Hall. And at one time, Mr. Ed Walton had a skating rink there. It had a wonderful floor.
But for roller skating?
Yeah, roller skating, uh-huh.
Was this like a vaudeville acts came to the opera house, or
minstrels and home talent plays. There used to be so many home talent plays, you know. And it was just quite a place, the bowls got reserved seats early, you know, and then the dances took place there. It was just quite a place, the Walton's Opera House.
Were these like dances for the entire town, or what in particular?
Well, yes, it just a couple of the regular dances, charge admission, you know, different ones have them.
Saw the first movie that you saw, the first motion picture.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Charlie Chaplin, and it was, as you know, silent, of course, you know, and it was across the street, close to where the bank is now, about over, upstairs from where the bank is, the first picture. Yes, they had the pictures at the Opera House. And then, that was just such a nice place.
You said you recalled your first talkie, the first sound movie?
First talkie I saw in Lexington. First talking picture. And they come a long way in perfection.
Do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't.
Become involved in politics in any way?
No, I never was involved in politics except once, and that was when Happy Chandler ran the first time for governor in 1935. I knew him in college, at Transylvania College, and so I was his chairwoman. And we had to go through three elections, you know, the primary, and the runoff, and the final. And I really enjoyed it that time. My father didn't approve of women in politics, but I went on and did that anyway, and really did enjoy it.
Was Happy Chandler a student at Transylvania when you were there?
Yes. He was ahead of me in school, but he was there. That I knew him there.
Why did you decide to support him? What was there about him?
Well, I just, Happy was so friendly and everything, everybody liked Happy, and he asked me to, and I just made my mind going to do it.
Who was Happy running against in 35?
He was running against Ray.
Ray.
I forget his first name, R-A-G-A.
Was he given much of, was this in the primary, or was that the Republican candidate? Was this the...
Yes, he wasn't here too much, but I mean, he was here about once or twice during the primary.
When he was running against this fellow Ray?
Yes.
Chandler came here to...
Yes, he was here once or twice. He spoke here at the courthouse. I had to introduce him that night. And he, as I say, had to have the runoff. And I never forget, he said, I've done more running than any other candidate. He said, just one more river to cross, and he was getting ready to run for the final. But we had a good time.
How did Happy Chandler do his campaigning? Did he visit the small towns, or on the railroad, or how did he travel then?
Well, he traveled in the car.
Did you travel with the Chandler team, any, or?
No, not much. Around, would go with some of his supporters around different towns, close, but not far away.
What were his chances in the primary and in for governor? They were good before
good.
He even started?
Good from the beginning.
Did you have any dealings with Chandler when he was governor then, his first term?
Yes. And some of us took him to inauguration and had such a good time.
But you say your father
preferred women out of politics?
No.
He preferred the women wouldn't get involved in
politics? No, Bob didn't believe in women in politics.
Mm-hmm. Was your, what did your father think about the women's right to vote in 1920?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that was right.